Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not already fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find in the upper part of the page. Before we learn the Mishnah, let us just note at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written, number one, Shloisha Dvorim Shetzorach Loimar Lifnei Knisas Shabbos. There are three things that a person is supposed to say before Shabbos is ushered in. And number two, Dvorim hu asurim v'hamutorin bein hashmoshes. Things that are forbidden and things that are allowed to be done during the period of time known as bein hashmoshes, the period of time between the end of the day, we'll say sundown, and the beginning of the night, which is characterized by the appearance of several stars in the sky. That period is known as bein hashmoshes. Let us now read the Mishnah. Shloisha Dvorim Tzorach Odom Lomar Besoch Beso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. There are three things that a person is supposed to say at the end of Friday, together with the onset of darkness. In other words, right before it gets dark. Isartem, he asks his family, did you tithe whatever needs to be tithed? Eravtem, did you establish the Eruv, which we'll discuss a little bit more later? And then Hadliku Esener, if that has been done, that you've tithed and you've taken care of the Eruv, then light the Shabbos candles. Sofek Chashecha, Sofek Eino Chashecha. If you're at that time of day where it's not clear, the halacha is not sure as to whether it's dark or not, well, that's the period of time we know as Bein Hashmoshes. So we say at then, Ein Ma'asrin Es Havadai, produce that definitely needs to be tithed, which we would call Tevel, well, it's too late. It's not the time. One cannot tithe at that time. V'ein matbilin es hakelim, newly acquired vessels from a Gentile that need to be immersed cannot be immersed in a mikveh at that time of day. And v'ein madlikin es haneros, and it's too late to light the Shabbos candles. Avol, however, during bein hashmoshes ma'asrin es hadmai, one can tithe produce that was purchased from an am haaretz, and since Midoraisa, it really doesn't need to be tithed, but only rabbinically requires tithing, so one can do it at this suffix time, this point of doubt in time, whether Shabbos has set in. Uma Arvin, one can make an Eruv, and this was mentioned earlier as something that one has to do Erev Shabbos, and here we're at Bein Hashmoshes, and you can still make an Eruv. This is not clear, because it would seem that the latter part of the Mishnah is not in sync with the earlier part of the Mishnah. The Gemara will deal with that. The Toinen Es Hachamin, and food that removed from the fire, and you want to preserve its heat by wrapping it in, we'll say, heat-preserving substance, that's called Hatmona. So that can be done during Bein Hashmoshes. The Gemara. Mino Hani Mili. Here we're referring back to the Reisha, namely that three things have to be said Erev Shabbos. So we want to know what is the basis for this. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Omar Krovi. Datem ki shalom u'alecho u'fokadeto novecho velo secheto. There's a comment made on the side of the Gemara, which is referred to by the little star, you can see v'i lo ma'arvi, if one doesn't make an eruv. Maybe we should just say a word about this pasuk beforehand, and the pasuk indicates that you will know that your home is at peace, and if it's at peace, then there will be no sin. So the comment says on the side that v'i lo ma'arvi kevon dolo shorot tule mone leko shlama bebese. If a person doesn't make an eruv, so that will restrict his ability to carry things in and out of his house, from his house to the chotzer, and that restriction will cause strain, and therefore there will be lack of peace. V'i lo madlik yishroga v'lo ma'asri, and if one doesn't light candles, right, and sits in darkness, or he doesn't tithe his produce, leko shlama bebese. Likewise, there won't be a sense of peace at home. Eating in the darkness, as we've seen in earlier Gemaras, can lead to one falling over things and getting hurt and not having food available because one didn't tithe, also will cause strain and lack of peace. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabo bar Rav Huna, Afagav Yom Rabbonon, even though they taught Shlosh Dvorim, Tzorach, Odom, Lomar, Vechule, the three things that need to be said Erev Shabbos, before the onset of Shabbos that we learned in the Mishnah, he has to say these things in a soft tone, in a peaceful tone, so that the members of his household will listen to, will heed his words. Omar Ravashi, ano lo shmiya li ha de Rabo Bar Rav Huna, I didn't hear Rabo Bar Rav Huna's teaching. The Kianti Misvara, and I on my own understood that and fulfilled that and said these things in a soft fashion so that people would heed me. And later he discovered that Rabo Rav Huna taught the same thing. At this point the Gemara now refers back to that which we saw in the Mishnah. Ha Gufa Kashya. The Mishnah has in it something that's inherently difficult or inherently contradictory. Amris, he said at the opening, Shlosha Dvorim Sorach Odom Loimar Besoch Beso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. Three things, amongst which is the establishing of an Eruv, must be done before the onset of darkness. That's Im Chashecha, before the onset of darkness. Sofek Chashecha, Sofek Eino Chashecha, Lo. And one would infer then that if one must do it before the onset of darkness, that would mean that if you're at a period where you're in doubt as to whether it is dark, so then it's too late. For Hodar Tani, and then it teaches Sofek Chashecha, Sofek Eino Chashecha Me'arev, that if you're in this period of doubt, you do make the Eruv. So that would contradict what was inferred by the Reisha. So that is our question. We've indicated, by the way, the length of this question by the long question marking that you can see where you see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. And at this point, you see a two dots, and in this next line has in it a simen. It says a mnemonic device for remembering certain things. There's a note in the margin of the Gemara where it says simen halachos shomar baal ha'maimer ze b'masecha zu. So this is a list of halachos in one word. Each halach is referred to that were said by this the author of this maimer in the Masichta. But for our purposes, we note that the question goes down till this point, and we can read the simen. Simen is Begufei, Zimra, Sifra, Bechavla, and Demilsa. These are references to different halachas that are mentioned in the Masichta. Now we get to the answer. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Chiyo, Bar Ashi, Omar Rav Loi Kasha. That which we raised as a difficulty is not a problem. Kan be'eruve tchumen, kan be'eruve chatzeros. When it comes to eruvin, so there are different types of eruvin. It's a general expression. Included in them is we have mentioned just two of them here, Eruv Tchumen and Eruv Chatzeres. Eruv Tchumen is a situation where one on Shabbos is restricted in general to the community in which he lives and an area of 2,000 amos in all directions around it. Beyond that, he is not allowed to walk on Shabbos. Let's say a person has some need to walk beyond 2,000 amos of his community in one direction. Let's say he has to meet somebody that at a point of up till 4,000 amos north of the city. So he puts down a portion of food at the 2,000 amma mark north of his city, thereby establishing his Shabbos location. And he has to do this on Friday, and his Shabbos location is thereby established at that new mark, 2,000 amas north of the city, enabling him to walk 2,000 more amas from that point, so that in a legal sense, his location for Shabbos is not the city anymore, but his location is now 2,000 amas north of the city, enabling him to walk an additional 2,000 amas from that point to where he needs to go. So that is Eruv Tchumen. That's considered a significant tikkun, a significant change or something that's established. He's changing his location. That cannot be done during the period of time, sofek hashecha, sofek ene hashecha. And that's what the Mishnah was referring to in the Reisha, which says, im hashecha. The question of eravtem, did you place an eruv? That was an eruv tchumen. That has to be done while it's still officially Friday, and not during the Bein HaShmoshes time, which is that sofek, that doubt time period between Friday and Shabbos. However, Eruv Chatzeros, that's a different type of Eruv. That's where you have several apartments that open into a common courtyard. Midoraisa, there's no problem in carrying things from the courtyard into the apartments, assuming that the whole area is enclosed. However, Midorabonon, from a rabbinic standpoint, they said, they introduced a stringency that says that when you have private domains and a joint domain, the members of the private domains, the owners have to join together to enable carrying from the chotzer, from the courtyard, into the private houses. That's called an eruv chatzeros. That is called only a rabbinic stringency, a chumra bi'alma, and hence that can be done even during the time of Bein HaShmoshes. We'll call it just simply something that's legally less significant than establishing a new Shabbos location, which is done through Eruv Tchumen. Therefore, since Eruv Chatzeros is a less significant legal establishment, considered a simple rabbinic stringency, therefore it can be done even during the Bein HaShmoshes period. That's where everyone contributes a certain amount of food to a joint, we'll call it, putting it in a communal pot, so to speak, and that's the Eruv Chatzeres. The Omar Rova, Amru Lo Shnayim. Here we have a new discussion, and on this side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've written, a diamond is featured, the word Le'echod, you'll see in a diamond, and it describes a case of Echod Shiniach Eruve Tchumen L'Shnei Anoshim. One person was requested to set down the Eruv Tchumen, that's the portion of food that will establish an individual's new location for Shabbos. So someone was asked to, on behalf of two people, to place down a Eruv Tchumen. So we note in our comment here, number one, Le'echod Heiniach Miba'od Yom, for one of them, he placed the food when it was clearly still Friday, daytime, but during the Bein HaShmoshes, the food that was supposed to serve as the Erev was eaten. So at Bein HaShmoshes, there was no food left. And Lasheni, number two, is Lasheni Henicho Bevein HaShmoshes. For the second fellow, he put the Erev down at the designated location beyond the city, at Bein HaShmoshes, v'nechal b'layla, and it was eaten after darkness set in. After it was clear that darkness set in. Now, in theory, a person's Eruv Tchumen is supposed to be established before the onset of Shabbos. And it's also expected that the food that serves of the Eruv is there at the time that that Shabbos sets in. So what is the din in this case? One Eruv was placed down at a good time, Friday, but it was eaten at Bein HaShemoshes. The other one's Eruv was placed down at Bein HaShemoshes, but it was eaten when it was clearly, after Shabbos had clearly set in. So the Gemara now features this case. The Omar Rova, Omru Lo Shnayim. Two people said to someone, Tsei Varev Olenu, please make an Eruv for us. Le'echor Yeruv Olov Mibod Yom. So for one of the people, he made the Eruv while it was still daytime. And Le'echor, for the other fellow, Yeruv Olov Bein HaShemoshes. He made the Eruv. He placed the Eruv at the Bein HaShemoshes time period. Zesh Yeruv Olov Mibod Yom. The one whose Eruv was placed down at the new location, the designated location, while it was still day, Nechal Eruvo Bein HaShemoshes. It was eaten. It wasn't there anymore, and was eaten during the Bein HaShemoshes time period. V'zesh Yeruv Olov Bein HaShemoshes, the one for whom the Eruv was set down at Bein HaShemoshes, at the Suffolk time period, Nechal Eruvo Mishachashecha. The Eruv was eaten after darkness. The Halacha rules, Shnehem Kona Eruv. The Eruv for both of them is effective. Each one's Eruv is effective. Monafshach, because we say, either way you look at it, one of them certainly was Kone. And you'll see that we have a doubt about this topic. And in a moment, the Gemara will say it's a Sofek Derabanan. You have a rabbinic doubt, a doubt concerning a matter that's rabbinic in nature, and therefore we are going to be lenient. So we say, Shnehem Kono Eruv Monafshach. Either way you look at it, E Bein HaShemoshes Yomamahu, if Bein HaShemoshes is classified as daytime, so then Basro Likni Kama Lo Likni. The second diamond that we see in the Gemara, that was Kone, because he placed it down at the right time. So he was Kone Shvisa, even though the Eruv was eaten later on. So therefore, the second Eruv was placed at the right time. And the Kamo Lo Likni, because if Bein HaShemoshes is considered Mibaod Yom, it was his Eruv was eaten during Bein HaShemoshes, was eaten while it was Friday, so that at the time Shabbos entered, there was no Eruv there for him to benefit from. The E Bein HaShemoshes Leilahu, if Bein HaShemoshes is considered nighttime, it's considered Shabbos in this case, so then Kamo Likni, Basro Lo Likni. The first diamond that we indicated, the first Eruv, would be Kone, and that's because it was placed down while it was still Friday. It was eaten after Shabbos set in, but at the point Shabbos set in, his Eruv was still there. So he is Kone, his domain is established. Basra Lo Likni, the second fellow, though, is not Kone, because his Eruv was set down too late, assuming that Bein HaShemoshes is Laila. Bein HaShemoshes Safek Hu, the Sveika Derabanan Lekula. The period of Bein HaShemoshes is a point of doubt. And since we're in the realm of rabbinic rulings, we have a rule that when you have a Sufik about that level of ruling, Lekula, we can be lenient. And therefore, in this scenario, both Eruvs will be considered effective. As we go on into Gemara, we have a new Nosei Mivneh heading, and you can see on the side a triangle is featured. You have Shnei Memros Shel Rava, two comments of Rava, Binyan Hatmona, regarding the matter of Hatmona. Hatmona, as we mentioned earlier, was where one preserves the heat of cooked food that's in a pot by wrapping the pot or burying the pot in a substance that will preserve the heat. So, Omar Rava, Mipnei Ma Omru, why has it been taught, Ein Toimin Bedover She'eno Moisiv Hevel Misha Hashecha? Why is it that one is not allowed to use as the material for heat preservation even something that is not itself heat generating? It's Eino Moisiv Hevel. It doesn't add Hevel, means heat. There are substances that actually will not only preserve heat, but will add heat. There are other substances that are used for insulation, but they merely insulate and do not add heat. So the rule that Rava is referring to here is that that after Shabbos sets in, let's say it's already Friday night, and you have some food that you want to preserve its heat for later on, you're not allowed to wrap it in any material, even if it's a substance that's Eino Moisiv Hevel. So why is that restriction in place? Before we go on in the Gemara, let us just look at Rashi toward the lower part of the page, in the middle of the wide lines. Misha Hashecha, Kidisnam Masisin, as the Mishnah taught, V'toimlin Esachamin, one can be Matmin Chamin, can wrap the food, can insulate the food. The Safe Hashecha, because at time of the Safe Hashecha, the Mishnah mentioned, he can do the Hatmona, this insulation, when it's Bein Hashmoshes, when it's in doubt that night has set in. Ha vaday chashecha ein toimin. But if it's certainly night, namely it's clearly Shabbos is set in, so one cannot do the insulation process. Ustam hatmono, the standard hatmono, v'dover sheno mosiv hevel, would be with insulation material that doesn't add heat. A simple example would be with taking a blanket and wrapping a pot that has cooked food in it, and wrapping the pot in the blanket, or wrapping it in towels. That's a dover sheno mosiv hevel. That cannot be done once Shabbos sets in. The ilu b'dover ha-mosiv hevel, if you are considering materials that actually increase heat, afilu mi-ba'o yoyim osir, nesna perek dalet, ein ton lo b'gefes v'chule, those kind of materials one is not allowed to use even if he sets it up on Friday. Gzeiro shemo yimtzu kederos tushin itstanano. The reason for that is that a person, we're afraid that a person might find that his pot, his food has cooled off. Kshiyirtze lahatmino, when he wants to matmin it, v'yartichenu tchila v'nimtzu mevashel b'shabbos, and he'll then cook it up, he'll heat it up on Shabbos, and that would be an iser of bishul or of havora on Shabbos. Rashi mentions, just to be true to the words, he says it's v'nimtzot mevashel b'Shabbos, of an iser bishul on Shabbos. We go back to the Gemara. Rava's question had been, why is it that on Shabbos one cannot matmin bedover she eino mosiv hevel? So the Gemara says, gezeira shema yarsiach. We're afraid that he might, as we saw in the Rashi, he might find the food cooled off to a level that he is not happy with, and he will boil up the food, the pot, on Shabbos itself. Omalei abai ihochi bein hashmashes nami nigzor. If that's the case, why is hatmona b'dover she'eino mosiv hevel osir only after Shabbos clearly set in? Even during the bein hashmashes period, it should be osir, as it's osir to cook on bein hashmashes as well. Answer: Omalei stam kederos roschos hein. Rava answers that during bein hashmashes, your standard pot is boiling hot, so that we won't make a gzera, we won't ban something in anticipation of something that wouldn't come to be in the first place. The Omar Rava. Now a second comment of Rava. Vipnei Mipnei Ma'omru, here we're at the top of Amud Beis, why has it been said, Ein Taimlin V'Dover HaMoisif Hevel V'Afilu Mibod Yom? Why cannot one insulate his pots in substances that are heat generating, even if it's still Friday? So there's two stages to this answer. So stage one, Gezeiro Shemo Yatmin Beremetz Sheish Bo Gecheles. We're afraid that he might choose as his heat insulation material ash that has in it coals, burning coals. Burning coals naturally will increase heat level. Omele Abaye V'yatmin. So Abaye asks, regarding this case, why not? So let him go ahead and do it. It's still Friday. The Gemara answers, Gezeiro Shemo Yechateh B'Gecholim. We're afraid that if he uses material that has coals in it, he might end up stoking the coals on Shabbos. And that is an iser of Melech HaShabbos. That's clearly forbidden. Rashi says, Gzeru Shemo Yechde B'Kholim Misha HaShecha. After darkness sets in, Shebola Vashila Kdero Shelo Bishlo Kol Sorcha. And if he stokes coals that are around a pot that hasn't been fully cooked, so he's going to be over on Bishlo B'Shabbos. The Gozru af Bibishla Kol Sorcha, and the Rabbonin imposed a gzera even concerning pots that are completely cooked as well. Ad Shigrof O Shiktom, until he clears away the coals or covers them. The Gemara now has a new discussion, and on the side we've indicated this under our No Say heading, Ezu Beinash Moshes, and we indicate this goes Ad Lamed Heyamid Beis. This is a discussion that's rather long. You can see we're on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis at the top, and this will continue till Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source. Bein Hashmoshes Sofek Min Hayom Umin Alayla Sofek Kulo Min Hayom Sofek Kulo Min Halayla. Essentially, there are three points of doubt that are mentioned right here as far as Bein HaShmoshes is concerned. The first is Sofek Min Hayom Min Halayla. Rashi says, Min Hayom Min Halayla, Klomar Sofek I Yesh Boy Mishnehem. It could be that Bein HaShmoshes is representative of a combination of day and night. The second doubt is maybe it's completely part of the day. The third is maybe it's completely part of the night. Matilin oisoi l'choymer shnei yomim. We apply to it the stringencies that would apply or be applicable to 2 days. V'ezehu bein hashmoshes. What is Bein HaShmoshes? Mishetishka Hachamo, from the point that the sun sets, Kolzman Shepnei Mizroch Madimen. As long as the Pnei Mizroch, and the term Pnei Mizroch will be discussed later in the Gemara, but it's a reference to a direction, as long as the Pnei Mizroch is red from sunlight, but the sun has already, though it is already set, it's still casting light. Hichsif hatachtoin velo hichsif ho'elyon. Hichsif, it means darkness. So that if the heavens that are closer to the horizon, to the ground, so to speak, that's the lower heavens, have become dark, but the upper, the above head, is still light, that's Lohir Svelyon, that's Bein HaShmoshes. Hichsif Ho'elyon V'Hishva L'Tachtoin, if the sky above head is equal now in darkness to the lower level of the sky toward the horizon, Zehu Laila. That's considered night. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Kidei Shalech Odo Mishetishka Chamo Chatzimil. Rabbi Nechemya says that Bein Hashmoshes is the amount of time. It's a time. He gives you a time factor from the point the sun sets, and then plus the amount of time that it would take to walk a half a meal. That's half of 2,000 amos would be 1,000 amos. A meal is probably close in size to a kilometer. So the amount of time to walk half a kilometer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bein Hashmoshes Kerefayin. Bein Hashmoshes is like the wink of an eye in length of time. Ze Nichnas, Ze Yotze. As the night enters, the daytime exits. Ve'ef Shalamud Olav, and it's impossible to establish exactly when that is. The Bach points out that there are some girsos that don't include this expression "ef shalamud olav," and according to them, the Tanaic source ends simply with "ze nichnas v'ze yotze." Bein Hashmoshes is a very short amount of time, and it is at the time that the day exits and the night sets in. Omar Mar. And now we go back over that which was mentioned earlier. Matilin oisoi l'choymer shnei yomim. You can see we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it will. You can align that with the star upper on the upper part of the page, and you see where this quote comes from. We mentioned that Bein Hashmoshes is a period of time of different types of doubt, and we apply to it the chomer, the stringency of 2 days. Lemai hilchasa. So what halachic bearing does that have in saying that we apply the stringencies of 2 days to Bein Hashmoshes? Omar Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Le'inyan Tuma. This is manifest with regard to laws of Tuma, specifically the laws of Tumas Zav. Tumas Zav is a situation where a male experiences a bodily emission. It's an emission that's different than a semen emission, but nevertheless we don't see this today in practice, and it doesn't have halacha lemaisa ramifications for us nowadays. But Mirtz Hashem, when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, this will come into operation again. The laws of Zav are such that a male that experiences two of these emissions, either two emissions in 1 day or one emission on two consecutive days, that's one and one, he becomes tome for 7 days. With that in mind, read the source. Maybe before we read the source, we mentioned he becomes tome for 7 days. That means that after having these two emissions, he must observe 7 clean days, 7 days where he has no further emissions, and after that he becomes tohor. He's considered pure again, which has ramifications for the consumption of those kinds of foods or tithes that demand tahara, demand purity. Kodshim, different types of hafroshes like trumas. If a male has three emissions, three on 1 day, or three emissions, one on each of 3 consecutive days, he then is obligated to bring, in addition to the 7 clean days, he's obligated to bring a sacrifice, a korban, to the Beis Hamikdash. So the source teaches as follows. There are two cases here. Kiddisnan, Ra Shnei Yomim Bein Hashmoshes. If he had a sighting of Ziva on 2 Bein Hashmoshes days, in other words, 2 consecutive Bein Hashmoshes, So that creates a suffek l'tuma u'l'korban. And however, ra'a yoim echad bein hashmashas, if he had a ziva sighting during one bein hashmashas, suffek l'tuma. That will make him obligated to observe 7 days that are tuma free, because, as we mentioned before, bein hashmashas is a suffek. Is it from the day before, or is it the part of the oncoming day? So, and maybe it's both. And in the event that it's both, so then his sighting during bein hashmashas represents a sighting of 2 consecutive days. So that's the Bayes case here of Ra Echod. He had one sighting, but it was during a bein hashmashas. That creates an element of doubt whereby it might represent 2 consecutive days. And that's what we said before. Matilin oisoi l'choymer shnei yomim. We apply to him a stringency of 2 days. Now, the first case in this source, the Aleph case, is if he had a sighting during 2 bein hashmashas, well, then those 2 bein hashmashas potentially represent 3 days. They potentially represent 3 consecutive days. As we indicated that 1 bein hashmashas represents a possibility of 2 days, therefore add to that a bein hashmashas 24 hours earlier, you have a possibility of 3 days, 3 consecutive days of sighting represented here. And you'll have to bring a korban from a suffek standpoint. Technically speaking, we don't bring korbanos under a suffek, with some exceptions. And in this case, we'll bring a chatas ha'oif, which is the required korban in this area of doubt. But we're not going to say any more regarding the realm of korbanos and suffek. The Gemara continues with another question. Ha gufa kashya. We learn the source above, but it has in it an inherent contradiction if you read it together with an inference, as follows. The source said, and we have a little arrow, you notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you can align this with the arrow on the higher part of the page, and you'll see where this comes from. So we say Hagufa Kashi means that the source is inherently difficult, and we should note also we have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines are needed to form the question. So we say Amris, on the one hand, Ezu Bein HaShmoshes, what is Bein HaShmoshes? Misha Tishka Chamo Kozman Shepnei Mizroch Madimen. From the point that the sun sets, as long as the Pnei Mizrach are still red in color from the sun rays that are cast. So that's Bein HaShmoshes. And then if we infer from that line the following, Ha Hichsif HaTachtoin V'lo Hichsif HaElyoin, if the lower part of the sky has become dark and not the upper part, the above head part of the sky, so then that would be Lailahu. That's later in time, so that would be darkness. In other words, if you establish Bein HaShmoshes as the time from sunset, as long as there is light in the Pnei Mizrach, that's Bein HaShmoshes. So the next time frame, namely where the Hichsif HaTachton, where the lower part of the horizon is becomes dark, even though overhead there's still light, well, that's later, so that would be Laila, V'hoder Tana, and then the same source goes on to say, Hichsif HaTachton V'lo Hichsif HaElyon is Bein HaShmoshes. That it's not, that at very same time is Bein HaShmoshes and not yet Laila. So we can say, make up your mind. The time period of Hichsif HaTachton V'lo Hichsif HaElyon, what is that? Is that Laila? Is that already darkness, namely the next day? Or is it Bein HaShmoshes? Omar Rabo. You'll notice we have diamonds here, Rabo, and a few lines later around Rav Yosef. So on the side, we've indicated under our Mivneh heading that the diamonds are highlighting Rabo and Rav Yosef. Masbirim Braisa, the Hayobos Sphira Pnimis, Beinyan Zman Beinash Moshe. So we're going to seek out the answers of Rabo and Rav Yosef to resolve this particular question. And once again, define the time period known as Hichsif HaTachtoim v'lo Hichsif HaElyoim. Omar Rabo, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Kroich Utni. Combine the phrases into one and teach it as follows. And we use a frame around. This is a rereading of the original source in such a way that there's no more contradiction. So it says, Ezu Beinash Moshes, Mishetishka Chamo. Beinash Moshes is from the time that the sun sets, Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Madimen, as long as the Pnei Mizrach direction is still light. Vehichsif hatachtoin v'lo hichsif elyoinami beinash moshes. And not only is kol zman shepnei mizrach madimen called beinash moshes, but even the next time period, namely hichsif hatachtoin v'lo hichsif elyon, is also still beinash moshes. Hichsif elyon v'shvil hatachtoin. However, if it becomes dark overhead, equaling the darkness of the lower part of the sky, that's laila. So that of the, we could call them three time periods, two of the three time periods, according to Rabba, two of them are Bein Hashmoshes. Rav Yosef from Rav Yudah Marshmuel, Hachi Kotani. Rav Yosef, though, says that the following is the way to view things. Mishetishka Chamo, Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Madimen, Yoim. That first time period is still part of the day. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, even though the sun has set, it still is considered clearly daytime. And that's because the Pnei Mizrach is still red, still light. Hichsif hatachtoim v'lichsif ha'elyoim. If the sky has become dark at the horizon, but not overhead, that's Bein Hashmoshes. When the sky above is dark like the horizon, that's Laila. So according to Rav Yosef, the Bein Hashmoshes is a shorter time period than that which Rabba accounted for. The Ozdu Letamayu, the Rabba and Rav Yosef that resolved the source above, are consistent with something else they said. The Itmar, Shir Bein Hashmoshes, Bekama, how long is Bein Hashmoshes? There's a Rashi that is found at the bottom line, V'yozul Tamayu, the Rabo Sovar Shir Bein Hashmoshes Nofish, Rav Yosef Sovar Zutar. As we attempted to point out as we went along the way, Rabba was giving more time for Bein Hashmoshes and Rav Yosef assigning less time to that. And we also will see the use of a double underline as we go on in the Gemara, and on the side of our Gemara under the Mivneh, we have the following. This double underline will be used to highlight Rabba and Rav Yosef. Machlokes Baruch Zman Bein Hashmoshes. They have a machlokes regarding the amount, the length of time that constitutes Bein Hashmoshes. And number two, which is on Lamed Hey Omed Aleph, would be a machlokes b'shir chalsa. They will have a machlokes regarding the dimension of a beehive, which is a separate topic that we'll get to Amir Tzashem on Daf Lamed Hey. But what we're trying to highlight is the fact that Rabba and Rav Yosef have are the ones or the names that appear in both of these discussions. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shloisha Chelkei Mil, that in the length of time of Bein Hashmoshes, after the Gemara said, V'ozo Tamayu, the Itmar Shir Bein Hashmoshes, Bekama, how long is Bein Hashmoshes? The Rabba says, it's Shloisha Chelkei Mil, three parts of a meal. Well, what do you mean by three parts of a meal? My Shloisha Chelkei Mil. And what we've done with our markings, we use a dashed underlining to highlight the stages of analysis. So, ilema, if it means telosa palge mila, three halves of a meal. So, nemo milu mechza. Why not spell things out in a simpler fashion? Say that bein hashmashes is the amount of time it takes to walk 1.5 meal. But you didn't say that. Ela telosa tilsi mila. Maybe it means three thirds of a meal. Well, three times one third is a whole, so name o meal. So just say that the length of time of Bein HaShemashes is the amount of time to walk one meal. You didn't say that either, though. Ella, by saying Tlosa Chelke meal, what you mean to say is Tlosa Rivi Mila, three quarters of a meal, three parts out of four. That's what you meant to say. So that's what Tlosa Chelke meal means, is three quarters of a meal. For Rav Yosef from Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shnei Chelke Meal. In response to the question of how long is the Shiur Bein HaShemashes, Rav Yosef says it's two parts of a meal. And the same type of questioning style follows. My Shnei Chelke Meal, what do you mean by two parts of a meal? Ilema Trei Palge Mila, two halves of a meal. So two times a half is a whole. Lema Meal. Viela Trey Rivi Milo, do you mean maybe two quarters of a meal? Lema Chatzi Mil, because two times one quarter is a half. Well, you didn't say a half either. Ella, we continue at the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. Trey Tilsi Meal, two thirds of a meal. So Rabba gave the shear of three quarters of a meal. Rav Yosef gives a shorter amount of time. That's two-thirds of a meal. Amount of time it takes to walk two-thirds of a meal. You'll notice that all of this was brought in to make a point. That was the Ozdu L'tamayu, and hence we ascribe to this piece of Gemara, we could have pointed out earlier, the long point marking, which was characterized by the nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line that continues till here. And what was the point we were trying to make? That the diamonds that you saw on Lamed Dalamed Beis, where Rabba resolved the contradictory source of the seemingly contradictory source above and established that you would assign two of the three time periods to define the length of a meal, the length of Bein HaShemashes, Rabba's amount of time, or Rabba's method of resolving the aforementioned contradiction, it results in a greater amount of time for Bein HaShemashes than that which Rav Yosef said. And here too, you see Rabba saying that the length of time for a meal for Bein HaShemashes is the amount of time it takes to walk three quarters of a meal, and Rav Yosef says Bein HaShemashes is less time, only the amount of time to walk two thirds of a meal. Well, what's the difference between three quarters and two thirds? My binayu. What's the difference between them? Iko binayu. Palga de danka. The difference is, palga is a half of a danka of a sixth. A half of a sixth is 1/12. So that when you take the three quarters fraction and the two thirds fraction and create a common denominator, so out of three quarters, you can say it's 9/12. And out of two-thirds, that's 8/12. The difference is 1/12, which the Gemara terms as palga dedanka, half of a sixth. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and the length of this is indicated by our bracket length indicator, which is a descending dash dotted vertical line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And after that, you can see at that point, at the end of this vertical dash dotted line, you can see the brackets are closed. We have assigned a nosei, a topic heading, on the in the margin, and we've written nosei basograyim in the brackets. Machlokes Rabba v'Rav Yosef b'shiur chalsa. What is the dimension of a beehive? Number one, shehe kli, and number two, Shehe Nechshav Rishus, for it to be considered a vessel. And if it's not considered a vessel because it's too large for that classification, it will be considered a domain. And the practical difference between the two is, are you allowed to move it around on Shabbos? And we also have a note, which we attempt to do in the Shas Ozer, the basis of our Gemara marking system, the marked Gemaras, an attempt to explain why we have brackets at different sections of the Gemara. And our note here, you can see by finding the star on the in the margin, inside margin, and we've written there, Besoch HaSograyim, Muva Keta She'eno Koshur Le'inyin Bein HaShmoshes. Within this bracketed section, we have a piece of Gemara that has no direct relevance to the issue of Bein HaShmoshes. That's why we feel that it's we can section it off. HaKeshe LeGemara Kan, the connection to the Gemara here is, Hu HaHofa'asam Sharabo of Rav Yosef, Im Yachas Shiurim Hafuchim L'mash Yizkiru Le'el. Rabba and Rav Yosef will appear, giving their respective dimensions to this Chalsa, but Rabba will be giving you the lesser amount, and Rav Yosef will be giving you the greater amount. And hence they represent, I think we'll call it an opposite approach with regard to relative sizes. Now, the Gemara. Having said all of that, we can learn the Gemara in the brackets. It goes without saying that after the brackets, the Gemara will return to the general topic of Bein HaShmoshes. The Gemara in the brackets, V'chilufa b'chalsa, and the opposite is the case with regard to the Chalsa. When it means the opposite, you have Rabba and Rav Yosef arguing, Rabba giving the lesser quantity and Rav Yosef the greater quantity or greater dimensions. The Omar Rabba, Chalsa, a beehive, Bas Tre Kuri Shori Litiltula, if it contains two kur is a dry measure, if it contains that amount, it's considered a vessel, it's considered a kli, and you're allowed to move it around. Ubas Tlosa Kuri, if however it is that large that it would hold three kur, Osir Litiltula, you cannot move it around. It's not considered a vessel anymore, it's not considered a kli. V'Rav Yosef Omar Bas Tlosa Kuri Nami Shori, even three core size Chalsa is allowed to be moved. He considers it a vessel. Bas Arba Kuri also, however, four core is forbidden to move. Omar Abaye Boy Mine Demor Bishas Maisa. Rabbi tells us that I asked of more. More is a reference to Rabba. Shas Maisa means when I needed to actually move something, in this case, move a Chalsa, the Afilu Bas Tre Kuri Lo Shorali. And he wouldn't allow me to move even something that held two kor, even something rather much smaller in size. The Gemara asks, Kiman. Well, based on whom is that stringent ruling that says even two kor is not to be allowed? Answer, Kehai Tana, Disnan, like the following Tana. The source begins, Kaveris HaKash V'Kaveris HaKonim. Kaveris is another expression referring to a beehive that's made of straw or made of reeds, Ubor Sphino Alexandris. This is a water container for boats that travel on the high seas, salt water, so they needed a tank for drinking water. That's a Bor Sphino Alexandris. Afalpi Shieshlehem Shulaim, even though these things have bottoms to them, as opposed to being something that's hollow, means or cylindrical only without a top or a bottom, but even if it has a bottom, Behein Machzikois Mem Sa'a Belach Shehein Kurayim Biyavesh Tahorim. These vessels, if they hold 40 Sa'a of liquid, which a vessel like that, if you were pouring into it, containing within it something that's dry, something granular, something that's dry, it would hold 60 sa'a. 60 sa'a is, or kurayim, kurayim is 2 kor, 1 kor is 30 sa'a, 2 kor is 60 sa'a. So tahora means it's not subject to kabbalah's tumah, meaning it's no longer considered a vessel. So we see a source indicating the kurayim amount of something that would hold 2 kor in dry measure is not a kli. And regarding Hilchos Shabbos, it means you would not be allowed to move it around. Therefore, what do we see from this? We see a basis for Rabbah's ruling of stringency to Abaye, saying that a chalsa that could hold 2 kor is not allowed. Omar Abaye Shmamino Hai Gudsha Tilsa Havi. We conclude from the statistics presented here that Goydish is heaping, that a vessel that holds a certain amount of liquid, if you were to have it contain something of a dry nature, which something that you could fill up and it would be heaping, that heaping, the amount above the rim of the vessel, would be a third of the new total amount. Using the numbers we had just now, in liquid, it would hold 40 saw of liquid. In dry, it would hold 60 saw of let's say, grains. The difference between 40 and 60 is 20. Take the number 20 of this new total amount, namely 60, and 20 represents a third. As we go on in the Gemara, Abaye chazia lerova de kodovi lemarov. Abaye noticed that Rava was looking. Dovi is to look toward the west. The west is obviously the point in the sky where the sun sets, and he was looking, he was gazing toward the west on a Friday to establish, is there still redness in the sky? And in line of the sugya regarding the transition point from Friday to Shabbos, so this is one of the time periods that is of concern. So Rava was seen by Abaye looking, gazing toward the west to see whether there was redness there. Omar Lei, so Abaye asks, Vohatanya, but didn't we learn Kolzman Shepnei Mizroch Madimen? As long as the Pnei Mizrochen, we have not till this point attempted to translate the term Pnei Mizroch because of this very Gemara. So Abaye is understanding Kolzman Shepnei Mizroch Madimen to mean as long as the east is red. So why are you looking toward the west? Omar Lei, so Rava answers, Mi Savris Pene Mizroch Mamish, who says that it means literally the east, that as long as the east is light, is the time period referred to in the source. Loi, that's not the pshat, that's not the explanation. The source doesn't deal at all with the light level in the east. Ponim hamadimim es hamizroch. It means the west. In other words, after the sun sets, if there's redness in the sky, in the western horizon, is what is referred to. And if you... as far as the expression of Kolzman Shepnei Mizroch Madimen, it doesn't mean the east, but it means the direction that lightens, that casts light on the east. In other words, when the sun is in the west, so it's casting light toward the east. Iko di Amri, another version of this, Rava Chazia Labaye, the Kodavi Lemizrach. Rava saw Abaye gazing toward the east. Amale Misavris Pene Mizrach Mamish, who says that the Tanaic source meant literally the east. Ponim Hamadimen Es Hamizrach. It meant the direction that casts light on the east, namely the west. As we mentioned, the sun, when it's in the west, it casts light toward the east. The Simonech Kafsa, in order to remember this phenomenon, remember a window. Rashi explains this in Dibur HaMasel, Ponim Hamadim Es HaMizrach. Rashi across from here says, Lo Erev Chama Shekas Bemarov. In the evening, the sun sets in the west. Vizarure Hachamo Madimen Es HaMizrach. The rays of sunlight lighten the east. Kechalon, like a window, when the sun shines through a window, so the wall opposite the sun gets lit up. So if the sun is shining in the west, it's casting its rays toward the east. So as far as the time period was discussed before, we had in our source, and of course we had Rabo and Rav Yosef dealing with that time period of Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Madimen, but the expression, the actual directions are that from the time Mishetishka Chama, from the time the sun sets, as long as it is red or light in the west, so that Pnei Mizrach is another term referring to the west. Of course, that period of time after sunset, as long as there is still light in the west, that is a machlokis Rabo and Rav Yosef. According to Rabo, that is part of Bein HaShemoshes, and according to Rav Yosef, that time period of from Tishkacham, from sunset, as long as there's still redness in the east, that's still considered part of Friday daytime. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.